Welcome. Jump into the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast, where leading with love isn't just nice, it's genius. I'm Laurel Donnellan.
And I'm Daryl Brown. We'll unpack business strategies infused with empathy and action, driving both profit and purpose. Our world is ever-changing, so discover how the savvy leader wears compassion as their power suit.
This is our fourth annual Compassionate Leader Circle Awards ceremony. I'm Meryl Erickson. I'm the Chief Compassion Officer for Compassionate Leader Circle. And unfortunately, Laurel Donnellan, our CEO, is recovering from an illness, so she won't be joining us today. But I do have Daryl here, and he's going to be my co-host today. And I also have Sarah Feely. Sarah, if you want to just give a quick wave. Sarah is our compassion manager, and Sarah and I do all of our organizational relationship management. So if you are looking to work with us, you'll be speaking with one of us. But I'm going to talk a little bit about CLC and who we are and why we do these amazing awards. And we've got a few people to thank today, and we'll get into our ceremony here. We're going to have, if I could have all of you honorees turn your cameras off for a few minutes, that would be amazing. Daryl, you can stay on screen with me. That'd be great.
Sure.
So who is CLC? We celebrate and we guide leaders who want to build compassionate workplaces, and we support individuals who are looking for meaningful work. And every year we highlight a number of compassionate leaders who are inspiring those around them, and we share their stories and we honor their work. Today we want to thank Paul Engels from Engels Inc. He's been our sponsor for the last 4 years. Sarah will share his URL in the chat. Paul and his team offer a one-of-a-kind system to gain leverage through LinkedIn and using connections through LinkedIn. And if you met us through LinkedIn, you can thank Paul. Compassionate leadership, what is it? And what do compassionate leaders do every day? It's really the practice of using your head and your heart to inspire and influence people so they can inspire and influence others. And compassionate leaders strive to practice self-compassion, vulnerability, and compassion for others. Self-compassion can look like sleep, a little break in between meetings, perhaps some time off to yourself. Vulnerability could be an apology when you make a mistake, sharing any sort of struggle or challenge, or asking for help. And compassion for others is just opening your heart wider and taking on a deep cause that moves you, forgiving somebody. And today, what you should expect is we're going to talk a little bit, Sarah is, about the prizes that we have, how you can participate, which will mostly be through the chat. We'll do quick introductions, Daryl and I, for each of our honorees today. And then towards the end, we'll do a quick fire panel designed for you to learn a little bit more about our compassionate leaders. And then we'll wrap up and everyone can enjoy their day. But I'm going to hand this over to Sarah for a moment, and she's going to talk a little bit about what it means to be an honoree and our prizes today.
Thanks, Meryl. Honorees, who are you? You become an essential part of our compassion community. They're a global representation of what we strive to do here at CLC. They acknowledge our universal interconnectedness and use their influence to make a positive impact on people and planet. These leaders are courageous, contemplative, collaborative, and care about the world they leave behind. So a little bit about the honoree process. You can be nominated in one of two ways: open nominations and staff nominations. So our CLC staff nominations include people we cover at Forbes, in our podcast, and other people we admire. This year, there were over 250 plus nominations, and the selection committee was led by Meryl. Our group, our selection committee, made the selections this year. Thank you to all the nominatees and nominators. There are no winners. The honorees represent all compassionate leaders worldwide. This year, we've added prizes worth $100,000. We plan to raffle 40 Dream Labs, However, we've decided to offer Dream Labs, which is a transformative self-discovery process and program to everyone attending this live broadcast. And the link and code will be sent later this week via email to all attendees. 8 of the 9 honorees we will introduce first. They'll receive a customized Lead Lab masterclass for 6 to 12 people. And one honoree, our 25th anniversary prize, will receive a Culture Lab for 6 to 12 people. Culture Lab, in high summary, is a customized deep dive into a company's culture, including a holistic approach to culture change with practical tools for leading a compassionate culture change, resulting in more resilient and healthy culture. Today's introductions will be brief. I will share the URLs for honorees' organizations in the chat so you can learn more. And we'll be featuring these honorees in a future Forbes post and our podcast. You all can participate with comments and questions through the chat. I will monitor the chat. And you can start right now. Please put in a hello in the chat and where you're calling from. Please note that the questions you have in the chat about the honorees will inform our podcast and Forbes interviews. So please, please jump away into the chat.
Thank you, Sarah. Daryl, for anyone who didn't hear your beginning, we started a little early. I'd love you to introduce yourself again for our attendee group. If you don't mind, I think that would be excellent.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, I'm Daryl Brown, and I've known the CEO, Laurel Donnellan, for, oh gosh, about 35 years now. We go back, we're old New York City buddies. So we go back a ways together. We both come from corporate America. I worked for the Disney Corporation and ABC for 30 years in an executive position. And, you know, Laurel's aim of making sure that people are recognized who manage with compassion, with heart, always resonated with me. And that's exactly how I tried to manage the people that I worked with. And I say worked with because I think that that's, for any leader, it's important to know that you're working with people and not people just looking up to work for you. So used to be an athlete too. I always like to throw that in because that taught me about competition. And to be a compassionate competitor is sometimes a tough thing to do. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Daryl.
Yeah.
We're happy to have you. So I think without further ado, we'll start talking through our honorees. So our first honoree today is Lina Green. Lina is the CEO of Angels of Impact, and Lina currently splits her time between Singapore and Silicon Valley. With a diverse background spanning law, technology, policy, and education, she brings a holistic and innovative perspective to the social entrepreneurship and impact investing ecosystem. Angels of Impact was started in 2016 by Lina and a group of conscious entrepreneurs with the vital vision of ending poverty by investing in women-led, community-based, sustainable enterprises. So far, they have worked across Asia, Pacific, Singapore, New Zealand, and the US. Lina, if you want to give us a brief little sentence or two about what compassion means to you.
Yeah, I think for me, I've become more aware of the fact that everyone's touched by trauma in some other. So for me, compassion is also includes patience and the ability to listen. Not to want, not just about others, but also to oneself, to be patient to yourself.
Thank you so much, Lina. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Our next honoree is Ish Arkar, the ACLU's Deputy Chief Equity and Inclusion Officer. He too is a New York Cityite. And unfortunately, Ish cannot join us today. Because of a prior commitment. But the American Civil Liberties Union dares to create a more perfect union beyond one person, party, or side. Their mission is to realize the promise of the United States Constitution for all and to expand the reach of its guarantees. ISHA has consistently showcased a steadfast dedication to advancing equity and justice while earning a law degree and her master's degree in social work. She acknowledges the inevitability of occasional workplace interactions that may inadvertently marginalize colleagues and advocates for sustainable solutions, emphasizing collective responsibility and growth.
Thank you for sharing that. We're sorry Ish isn't here to join us. I know she's disappointed not to be part of the ceremony today.
Right. Jeffrey Roach is our next honoree. And Jeffrey is the Director of Workforce Development North America for Siemens Healthineers, an organization with 66,000 employees from over 120 nationalities, dedicated to sustainable innovation that saves lives. He is a proud son of a nurse, healthcare expert, and education enthusiast. Jeffrey has an unwavering commitment to fostering diversity and inclusion in healthcare and education. Through his work, he has demonstrated a keen ability to connect with others, mentor emerging leaders, and create environments where everyone is valued and empowered to contribute to a transformative solutions. Jeffrey, a quick hello and share something with us.
Thank you, Daryl, and wonderful to meet all of you. I go by the hashtag HeartLeader. And so for me, compassionate leadership really has always meant really demonstrating the connection of the heart to another person, being there, building meaningful, authentic relationships to really not just impact their lives, but also impact our organization and the society around us. And so I consider it an awesome responsibility, but one that you have to treasure and continue to work on every day. So thank you.
Thank you. Our next two honorees are from the construction industry, contributing in very unique ways. Devon Henry is the CEO and president of Team Henry Enterprises in Richmond, Virginia. Unfortunately, Devon cannot attend today's event. He's traveling. But in 2023, he demonstrated extraordinary courage by taking a firm stand for his values and the well-being of his community stakeholders through his leadership by removing 24 Confederate statues across the southern United States. He assumed a role that many found too contentious or risky, engaging directly with a deeply polarized issue at the intersection of history, race, and identity. By converting them into art and using the proceeds to support nonprofit organizations, tackling societal issues linked to oppressive ideologies these movements once symbolized. Henry advocated for a transformative vision of community and history while facing significant risk to the safety of himself, his family, and his team. Audrey is our next honoree here. Audrey Grubesic is the founder of Offsite Dirt Media in Savannah, Georgia. Offsite Dirt Media provides events and media coverage to the offsite construction sector, focusing on showcasing innovation, sustainability, affordable housing projects, and women in construction. Audrey's vision is to collaborate with industry experts, educate on best building practices, and impact how we build, including helping women succeed in a traditionally male-dominated industry. You can get to know Audrey and her fascinating industry and travel with her to worldwide events by listening to interviews with individuals and panels on the Offsite Dirt podcast. A quick hello from you, Audrey, and a tip.
Yes, thank you for allowing me to be here. This is such an honor. And I have to say, there's going to be so much repetitive information because I think we all feel the same. We lead with our heart for a reason. Our heart is what connects us, and it allows us to know what our North Star is. In order to know our North Star, we also have to be compassionate creators. Creating is what we're here to do, and our heart is how we lead towards that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our following two honorees lead DEI and B initiatives. The first at a community non-for-profit and the second at a global corporation. Asia Pope is the inaugural director of DEI at the Buckeye Ranch in Columbus, Ohio, where their mission is the behavioral, emotional, and mental well-being of children, youth, and families throughout Central Ohio and beyond. She has consistently demonstrated a steadfast commitment to alleviating the suffering of others by fostering inclusive environments. She makes them feel safe in sharing the challenging experience and effectively communicates concerns to leadership. Examples of her innovation are at the Buckeye Ranch include a DEI bus trip to the Underground Railroad Museum in 2023 and plans for a trip to the Native American Museum this year. Asia, would you like to share?
Yes, so I am Asia, like you said, the Buckeye Ranch, very excited to be here. One of the biggest tips that I take day in and day out would be to allow people to really feel comfortable being transparent and vulnerable. I feel like we are all human. We've made mistakes in life. We are fearful of something, fearful of failure. So being able to open up to your team members and people in the community, allowing them to know it's okay to be vulnerable, to make mistakes, we can get up and be even better than we were the day before.
Our next nominee, Jill Feliciano, is Global Vice President of DEI and B at HighSpot, a Seattle, Washington company. HighSpot is a sales enablement platform that drives productivity. Jill has championed policy changes for LGBTQ and women's inclusion, secured pay transparency, and advocates for underrepresented groups. She leads seven employee resource groups and the Inclusion of Belonging Council and empowers employees to shape an equitable workforce and tackles complex conversations, ensuring all voices are heard, even from dominant groups who often feel excluded from the workplace inclusion initiatives. Currently, Jill is at the forefront of discussions about the impact of artificial intelligence on the workforce. Jill, a quick hello from you, please.
Thank you so much, Daryl. Hello, everyone. You know, I've learned that compassion opens our hearts to others. One tip for being a compassionate person is no matter your title, your status, it is important to be intentional every day about practicing kindness in your everyday interactions. And this can be something simple as offering a smile to someone, opening the door for someone at the supermarket, or just simply taking time to listen to someone's story. Your actions can be contagious and they cause a ripple effect in how others then demonstrate compassion in their everyday interactions with others.
No, I was just going to comment on the listening part that everyone seems to be echoing. It's really, it touches me. So.
It's amazing to hear. I mean, I've had the privilege and the honor to meet a lot of these honorees and a lot of the nominees and nominators over our process, and bring so much hope that the world is not crumbling around us. And there's so many people doing amazing, amazing things. And it's just really, it's a gift that we get to share it with other people. Next up, we have Gar Grinnell. Gar is the CEO of Mohawk Global, a supply chain solutions firm headquartered in Syracuse, New York. We have had the privilege of getting to know Gar and much of his team over the last few years as we have worked together. Gar has taught us a tremendous amount about leading with love every single day. And we recruited a few of his team members to help write his introduction. So this is a compilation of their words. Gar's priority is always good, the good of all his Mohawk employees. He loves us all, but is especially compassionate to the people on our front lines. His leadership inspires many of us and makes us passionate about Mohawk's success. He demonstrates this by learning our people's names and personal information, regardless of the position. He understands people and how to lead in a manner that is so beautiful. Gar has reached more than Mohawk's employees. He's positively influenced our families. With Gar's leadership, there is no doubt people come first. Gar, would you like to say something in a quick hello?
Thank you. That touches me, and it is such an honor to be here. Thank you for the award and the gift. And it's an honor to be associated with all these impressive people. You know, we've all talked about leading with love. It's the way I end every town hall and every round table, as I say that I love my people. And we demonstrate that through our actions, our authentic, loving actions. We want our people to be their true selves. I call it their Saturday selves. Be themselves, be comfortable at work. That's when they're happiest and most productive. And I want to take this opportunity to thank the entire executive team at Mohawk Global who really walk the talk every day. This is a team effort. And so I'm very appreciative and thankful for them. So thank you.
Thank you. Our last honoree is the recipient of our 25th anniversary award for her work with women across continents. Her leadership team will receive a comprehensive Compassionate Leader Circle Culture Lab facilitated by myself and Laurel to support her in building a stronger foundation for this vital work. But Comfort Dondo is the founder of Fulmalani, which is African Women Against Violence, based in St. Paul, Minnesota, where 22% of immigrants are of African descent. Her nomination came from her home country of Zimbabwe. Fulmalani is an organization dedicated to preventing domestic violence and sexual abuse in communities of color by providing culturally specific resources to women and girls. Comfort's compassionate leadership uses her own experience as a survivor to drive her beautiful global vision. And she embodies empathy, kindness, and a genuine concern for others. First of all, congratulations to all of our honorees. What an absolute delight to meet you and spend time getting to know you. And I'm seeing the sort of the rapid chat go through here of everyone congratulating and impressed to connect with one another. So we absolutely encourage you to reach out to one another and connect, and certainly we'll be working with you further with CLC. Daryl's going to do a quick fire panel for all of our honorees. So if I could ask everyone to turn your cameras back on, all of you honorees, and we'll have a full screen here. And Daryl, when he is reaching out to everyone, don't forget to turn your mic back on to respond.
Okie doke. So first of all, we've all managed people and sometimes challenging situations. And so I'd like to ask one of you to tell us about a challenging situation that you were faced with and how you handled it.
Yeah, of course. Always challenging in DEI work, of course. So I would say one of my biggest experiences was with a team member who I did not know was not on my team, but I said, hi, see you tomorrow, every day. She never spoke back. I tell this story in our new hire orientation here at the Buckeye Ranch as well. But just talking to her a couple of days after, she said, hey, I wanted to stop you and really thank you because you saved my life. And I said, saved your life? How? And she said, because I was going through a lot of mental issues and I really felt like I was on the brink, the edge. I wanted to kill myself. Sorry to use that if it triggers anybody. But she said, being able to know that a person that doesn't even know me made an effort day in and day out to say, I'll see you tomorrow, was what kept her coming to work. So that just showed being compassionate and understanding that, you know, we all have our hard days, and some days we don't know how to communicate it, But having that one person to see you and let you know you're still human, you're here, you're making it, you got this, we can do it tomorrow.
Wonderful. Lena?
Sure. Thanks for sharing that, Asia. I think one of the things that I have become very mindful of is that we do live in a very divided and conflict world, that no one has been untouched by trauma. So having sort of a trauma-informed way of dealing with the team, as you know, they're the trauma responses of flight, fight, flee, freeze, fawn, right? So being aware of that so that when the challenging situations where people are in the fight mode, for example, or the flee mode, is to be able to give space to listen, to pause. That's why I use the word patience in my earlier thing, because you know, you literally have, if you're just like mission oriented and you're running with that, you don't give people that space to be able to deal and unpack the traumas, especially when they are in the fight response mode.
I'm going to change it up a bit. How about a project that you're currently working on that you'd like to share with us? Jeffrey?
Yeah, so I would say a project that I would say comes to mind for me is within US and Canada, within my work at Siemens, it is really all about helping our hospitals and healthcare systems build the next generation workforce. And so one of the things I always infuse into that work is you've got to have empathy, you've got to have compassion, and you also have to have a commitment to creating a sense of belonging. And I think to Linus' point and Asia's perspective, what they shared, if we can create a sense of belonging in our workplaces, we won't have retention and we won't have recruitment issues. And so to me, the most important thing we can do is to create that sense of belonging that makes someone almost be like a magnet, that they want to be a part of that. There's no question that that's the environment they want to serve.
And I'd like to layer in, if that's okay, Daryl, to what Jeffrey said. So similar to your focus area at Siemens, you know, here at HighSpot, we're focusing on how we continue to evolve our workplace so that it's truly fair, inclusive, and equitable for everybody from all different backgrounds and walks of life. And a part of that mission is I'm currently a board advisor to a company called Included, where we're using people analytics and AI to create storyboards on the employee experience. So you can see from a different segment of a population, let's say women who are in leadership, we can see how they come into the organization, their promotion rates compared to their peers, their engagement scores, which leaders are bringing the best out of them. And then we can also see what drives retention so they don't leave and walk out the door. It is a game changer to understand how we actually use analytics and predictive indicators to create structure and remove inequities that cause inadvertently inequities. So I'm really excited to share that AI is changing the landscape of how we actually see people and understand the unique experiences, but it also creates storyboards for leaders to build empathy through story. When you know these things are happening at a deeper level than the eye can see, and that's what's changing and moving our leaders into action.
Someone else who hasn't shared, another honoree?
I'll step in. So the whole reason for creating Offsite Dirt, which is a platform of 12 contributors, is to educate people about another principle of saving the way that we build and the way that we create construction. We work with modern methods of construction, meaning that it's either volumetric, it's a panelized system, it's lean manufacturing principles. It's utilizing all these sustainable ways to build. And we need to build buildings for tomorrow, because the buildings that we are creating and designing now have people in them. And so we really have to be compassionate about the people that are living in them and how they're growing in them and how they're expanding. I think that there's a lot to say with Lena and having these tragic situations that happen. Everyone has some trauma. We've been through an amazing situation happening with COVID. Everyone has been affected. Our mental health has been affected. So creating an inclusive area where we can communicate and talk about building design, it's one of the biggest areas in the industry right now as a nation. We're over 7 million households short of homes. And not only that, the existing homes that are there are falling apart. So we want to build better. We want to think about the planet, and we want to think about the people and how those people are going to live in them. And through Offsite Dirt, we've been able to talk to people nationally and globally to find out new solutions that are out there, because we're only about 6% of the construction industry right now. So it's really important for us to hear inclusive voices of all people in all different shapes and sizes, so that we can come to a common goal, build more productivity, and be able to share our stories of success so that we can create more efficiencies in the build process.
Just hearing everybody talk about how trauma has impacted everybody across the entire world. Here at the Buckeye Ranch, we actually use our trauma-informed care model, which is amazing. We have four principles of quality care, which are strength-based, family-centered, trauma-informed care, and also culturally responsive. So that leads a lot of our efforts in how we create the culturally inclusive environment for our team members, but also for our families and our communities and how we deal with them. So that's also a good approach for some companies to take, is to having that trauma-informed care lens on when they're working.
Dara, if I could jump in.
Please, Gar.
I'm so impressed and humbled by the great work that the honorees have undertaken. Just want to add that Moho Global wants to do its part. We recently launched a community give back initiative to address the food deserts that exist in our inner cities. And these are communities that lack access to affordable and nutritious food. And so in the 10 cities that we operate, they include, and those cities include Boston, Atlanta, Chicago, LA, New York, we are operating to help grow fresh produce, and we'll be donating that produce to the inner cities. And Mohawk's people are very caring and want to give back to the communities in which they live. And so this is one way for us to do that.
Thank you, Gar.
Thank you, everybody, for sharing all those wonderful things. I personally would love to talk to all of you so much more. I have so many more questions and things I want to hear about, but we're still grateful for all of your time. We recognize how busy you are and how many other things you have happening. This is an honor. And, you know, we are trying so desperately, just like each one of you, to shine a very, very bright light on compassion in leadership, in organizations, across industries, across individuals. And so we're delighted to have everyone here. I'm going to open it up to any sort of comments and questions from the audience. Also, any of you honorees, if you have any other thoughts you'd like to add, now is a good time to do that.
Perhaps if I could just jump in on the area of trauma that we are working on. So as you know, there's a lot of trauma around money. And we are really addressing the issue of the funding gap that especially women of color face because of all the unconscious biases out there. And so in addition to trying to educate people and use data in a way of showing that women of color are successful, are capable, we also understand the trauma-informed situation we're dealing with, because many of them have their own history of abuse. So creating a space in which they can lean and support on one another as well. And it's always so amazing to see resilient, resourceful women do amazing things despite all the odds against them. So I just wanted to add that.
Sarah, I might need your help. If we have any questions from any of our attendees or audience, now's a good time to, if you want to read them or somebody wants to ask, we could do that.
Yeah, I just got a question in from Melissa Ruth. Thank you, Melissa. What one action item would you want each of us to take to heart or adopt in 2024?
That's a great question. I think if everybody wants, we have time to do a quick answer if you all want to share something about that. Asia, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. One thing I would say taking into 2024 is when you're working with compassion and trauma, give yourself grace too. I think sometimes even the most compassionate leaders, we're always willing to fix it for everybody else and making everybody else feel good, but you have to give yourself grace and time and space to process as well.
Thank you. I was just going to add in, I think everything starts with a little bit more self-love for ourselves. right? We are so gracious to give, but sometimes we need to receive too as a leader. And so to know that it starts in our heart for ourselves is really truly a gift, and to be able to cultivate that. And like Asia was saying, giving ourselves a little bit more grace, it really does make all the difference in the world, because if we're happier and we're more grounded and we're more graceful in our actions, it only blossoms from that, and everybody else around us allows that same kind of offering.
I was going to say, on a different note, I call it leaders have a choice to make it a make it or break it moment. And when I hear what Asia did, she made it for that person. Far too often today, we have leaders who are breaking it for people. They're not taking that extra step to do what they need to do to support their team and hear their issues before they tell them what they think their issues are. And so my call to action is for all leaders to truly think about how they're going to make it for another person, how they're going to make their day better, make their experience better, and not break it for them. Don't be that contributor to more trauma. Be that contributor to hopefulness.
Yeah, and I would just add that, you know, maybe I liked the way Gar was mentioning about, you know, emphasizing love at the end of the meetings on Saturday. Bring your whole self. I think before jumping into work, take a moment to pause where people have the ability to share what's going on, and maybe set the example by showing your own vulnerability, giving other people a sense, opportunity to share their own vulnerabilities too.
You know, I think it's important, it's no coincidence that we've heard similar messages from everyone, because we are all connected, you know. And I sharing vulnerabilities is critical. Letting people know that we're all right sized, right? We're all and being able to listen, being able to put yourself in, you know, they say put yourself in someone else's shoes. I'm so deeply impressed by the work that you do and the leadership by example that you provide. It's really wonderful.
Gar, did you want to add something? Looks like you turned your mic off.
Yeah, I was just going to add that it's, I think one of the actions that we can take is to reach out to someone and make that personal connection. You know, we're all busy people. Everyone is busy. We have our crew that we deal with every day, but to break outside that group that we normally deal with and connect with someone inside your organization, someone outside the organization, I think is so important. You're going to make a difference in their life. And it starts with taking that action.
Yeah, I would love to layer on to Jeffrey and Gar. So yes, make or break, right, is really kind of what leaders do, especially those who carry power and privilege and influence. Let's be real about that. But what's really interesting is us as leaders, and I guess this is the tip, is that we have to really make those connections, but actively listen and ask the questions of that individual as to what it is that they need from us. Mm-hmm. Everyone's needs are different, right? What I need to feel included may be different than, you know, a couple of folks over here. So we may be so intentional about saying that we love folks, or, you know, bringing in, you know, groups to have conversation, dialogue. But if it doesn't resonate with that person and the walk of life and what their true need is, we'll still have a disconnect. So leaning in, listening, and uncovering what that individual needs is one of those keys to effectively driving compassionate leadership.
Thank you, everyone. We appreciate that. Later this week, you will receive some more information, including today's recording. If you're watching on a stream, please go to clc.com and sign up for our mailing list to receive more information on us and the honorees. And thank you to our amazing CLC team, Daryl and Todd and Sarah and Laurel. From afar, we're sending Laurel. Everyone send Laurel a little love and a little healing so she can get better. And we also have some background players who aren't here who I'm going to mention. Storm, who's our COO, and Maddie. And we have Sarah, obviously, Finn. And we have a number of other people, Uli and Anthea. So thank you all for your participation. Lastly, Paul, who's our sponsor. I am delighted and looking forward to spending time with each of our honorees. And today I will challenge all of you to do something simple, just something simple to develop your own practice of compassionate leadership. Take one baby step toward self-compassion, vulnerability, or compassion to others. And if you have one last minute and you want to share one last tidbit about self-compassion, vulnerability, or compassion to others in the chat, that would be wonderful. And Daryl, you and I will stay for a couple minutes if anybody else has questions. My middle daughter just walked in, so she's going to say hi to everybody too. Because this is life, right, everyone? Daryl, do you have any other closing remarks here or any other questions that are coming up from our honorees?
No, as I said before, I've heard such wonderful things, and I'm excited about the world when I hear people like you all in charge.
Likewise, it gives us hope,
yeah.
hope and happiness. All right, everyone. Well, we're grateful for your time today. Go back to your lives and become kind and compassionate, and we will talk to all of you very soon.
And that's a heart-wrapped episode of the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. May your compass always point to kindness.
As you navigate the world, let compassion be your North Star. Join us next time as we continue to redefine success one heart-led decision at a time.
Lead wisely, lead with heart. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com.